This is an AMI podcast.
I'm Kelly McDonald.
I'm Ramya Amadhin, and this is Kelly and Ramya.
Wow, we've got lots going on the show today. What a tremendous conversation. Remember, check the podcast out if you missed it, or one of our repeats. First one at 10 p.m. Eastern time on AMI TV and on AMI Audio. On AMI TV, you can find us at 3 a.m. in the morning. A lot of you are still up, right? Come on, isn't everybody? And on AMI Audio at 6 a.m. in the morning. Kelly McDonald with Ramya Muthan.
Let's get to our monthly employment chat with Alicia Yardley from our HR department.
Hi, I'm Alicia Yardley, your HR specialist. Join me for career and employment advice right here on Kelly and Ramya.
Alicia, we're kind of taking a broad scope on today's topic, which is recruitment do's and don'ts. And really the most efficient way to do this is to break down the different parts of recruitment and then go through the do's and don'ts that way. So should we start with cover letters? Because that's kind of the first thing we get into, cover letters and resumes, and talk about that. So the first question we have for you is, should I send them? What should I put in them? How do we customize them? Should we customize them per opportunity or per job posting?
That's a great question. So with cover letters, some HR professionals will say you should have one. Some say you don't need one.
Most of us are very lazy and think we can get away without cover letters. Have to be exactly encouraged to send them.
They already know why I'm applying.
Yeah. Isn't it just a resume but in paragraph format?
Aren't I the best fit anyway? Everyone knows that, at least in my mind. In my mind, for sure.
And I'm hiring you for every role, Kelly.
Of course. I love it. I can get a real job, Alicia.
I think a cover letter is important. And the reason for that is because it's a bite-sized preview of what's going to be in your resume. And you're talking about why you're applying to that company. So, you could break down specifically what you're bringing to the table, just those high-level points, and then going over why you chose that organization. What was it about that organization that stuck out? Because I know when HR professionals are looking at the cover letter, we do look at, okay, what was it that even attracted you? And we will ask that sometimes in the phone screen. And just having a sense of who you are from the cover letter, it does kind of open the conversation a little bit more when you're doing that phone screen. So I would say I'm of the school where it's not a bad idea for a role that you're really, really passionate about. I would definitely put a cover letter together. But it really is an optional thing to do. It's just kind of a nice to have.
It's kind of almost like highlighting, if you could, your resume items that you really want to say, and notice I have this, look, see here. And I think that's one of the things that I was taught years ago, the beautiful thing about a cover letter, because it could be the one shot if you have that person who's done reading 1,400 resumes or whatever it might be, and they just happen to pick up that cover letter. I'm finishing for the day. I'm already checked out. Whoa, what is this here?
Exactly.
Makes that difference. Yeah.
It really does. And again, when I'm looking at why somebody is applying to AMI, I'm interested. What was it about this company? And, when we're talking in the phone screen, I'll ask and people give me all sorts of stories, really interesting stories, their own lived experience with a disability or with someone they love who has a disability. And it is a really interesting process to just kind of get to know people, determine like, okay, you seem like you'd be a really good fit. And, when I'm looking at somebody's cover letter, I am able to get a little bit of a sense of what kind of fit that person would have.
Great. Okay. Moving on to resumes, do I need to change my resume for every single role I apply to?
That's a good question. A lot of people ask me this. I would say that customizing it slightly is never a bad idea. And I'm going to say for your most current role, that's probably the best idea. And the reason for that is because you're looking at the job ad, you're looking at what it is they are looking for, and you want to basically make it very easy, because we HR people are not always the smartest. And so you want to make sure that you're looking at, okay, here are the duties and responsibilities. Here's where I did some of those duties and responsibilities in my most recent employment. So then it's like, you know, if for example, it's manage the overall budget for this department, I manage this the budget in this department in my current role, or I assisted with that process, so that at least they know that you do meet the qualifications and you've had a little bit of experience doing some of the things they're going to be asking you to do. So I would just say a little bit of customizing with your most current role, but don't, you know, you don't need to customize the entire thing.
There's a lot that we ought to do just to show the employer that we have been paying attention, right? We're not just like generically applying to 500 jobs on Indeed.com or something. And I think that that's part of the process of like these customization techniques and understanding of, you know, applying to jobs, which is actually quite difficult because nowadays we are applying to 500 jobs at a time, right?
Like with just one click.
Yeah.
Well, we hope.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. And you know, I think the other thing with customizing your resume, just, and I'm speaking from even my own personal experience, I have sometimes sent a resume to the company where it kind of didn't really fit what it was they were looking for, because I was like, okay, I'm just going to throw these out there. So you don't want to spend a whole bunch of time on customization. I would say, you know, maybe like max 5 minutes, 10 minutes. Right. You know, you're just, again, looking at those key duties and responsibilities. And then it's kind of that way to just double check to make sure that you've captured what you want to capture. You're not like talking about a different organization entirely. You're not, you know, you've got all of the experience that you want to highlight. Yeah, that would be my recommendation. But again, like no longer than, you know, 5-10 minutes at max.
Okay. Any other tips on exactly what that thing should include on in that resume that we the have to make sure this is there? Obviously, I address and who the heck you are.
Absolutely. So I would say you want to go about 8 years back. That's kind of the rule of thumb. Or, you know, your last few roles that are pertinent to the position. If it was, you know, you took a little break from whatever your field was, then you could put, you know, what you were working in before you took the break in that relevant job experience. Usually a resume shouldn't be longer than about 2 pages because people don't want to scroll through an entire portfolio. Some resumes are like 2 and a little bit pages. That's fine. But, you know, the rule of just one page, we don't really do that so much anymore because we know people, you know, they've got a lot of experience. The other thing I would say is to use specifics if you can. And
okay, I think we
lost.
Yeah,
you.
I think we lost Alicia for a moment. We'll see if we can just grab her, get hold of her again.
But these are things to keep in touch with, huh, Kels? Like the thing is, when you're not in the market,
do they change in your mind?
To me, like if they do, I wonder where that comes from. Is it just that, you know, we want one pages because we don't want to, Alicia, we have you back. But, you know, the question of like how long a resume should be, what's a default type of formatting nowadays? Are we trying to be unique or are we trying to be uniform with what people expect of a resume? All these kinds of questions come up.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. There are different templates for resumes online. Again, my advice would be to speak with somebody who works in HR, a friend, you know, business, somebody that you trust or somebody that works in business. And then you can maybe compare formats. There are several different formats. There are ones that are kind of like historical, like the ones I was talking about, where you're going back in your job experience. There are key functional resumes where it's like people put what they were doing under their key competencies. So, you know, timeliness, I demonstrated this like in these jobs. I would say for no matter what the kind of resume you are preparing, it really needs to have specific details, because for every point on your resume, you want to be able to answer the question, why is this relevant? So, you know, for example, if I am the HR advisor on the Health and Safety Committee, I'm going to talk about, okay, you know, conducted those inspections, ensure, you know, provided training for X amount of people, because otherwise it just looks like I've put it there for no real reason. And you want to be able to make it relevant to why you put it on the resume.
Okay. Yeah, take out their guessing or anything like that. So do you want to cover off the phone screen? What is the point of the phone screen?
So the phone screen is really just that first culture check with, it's usually with an HR professional or if they have a like in-house recruiter, they will do that phone screen. It's to get to know the candidate on a very general basis to assess their communication skills and also to see whether they might be a good fit for the organization. One of the things that I would advise people to not be afraid of doing is if it isn't a good time and you know you're not going to be your best during that phone screen, and HR's called you out of the blue, ask if you can do it at a different time. It's not the end of the world. It doesn't mean you're not going to get the job. I'd rather talk to somebody who's had like a little bit of time to prepare than somebody that's caught off guard and then nervous, because then like nobody's having a good time during that conversation.
Yeah. It almost seems like a setup when somebody catches you off guard. You worry because, can I say I'm not available at the moment? Well, you're not working. Well, you could be. But the point is, the view is, well, you're to make yourself available to us. We always talk, Alicia, about the point of, should I disclose a disability?
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. If you are a member of the deaf, hard of hearing community, disclosure would be important in terms of using different tools as interpretation. Any disability, it is optional, but if you need accommodation, that allows the HR screener to know what maybe you need. If you need the questions repeated to you, if you need a little bit more time to think about them, if you want to see them in writing one at a time, that allows us to give you the best chance to succeed in that phone screen. Disclosure of disability, of course, you know, there can be that stigma, but HR legally, we have that duty to accommodate. And so many workplaces in Canada, we're wanting a barrier-free environment by 2040. Yep. And so it is so important that we work on that accommodation. And so if there is something you need, a visible disability, invisible disability, please disclose it. And then even after the phone screen, you know, if you're invited to interview with us, again, disclose, you know, what accommodation needs you might have, because then the interview process will go a little bit more smoothly for everybody as well. You know, it really, these aren't to trip you up. A phone screen isn't just to kind of catch you off guard and then, you know, see if you could wiggle out of this one. It really is, you know, who is that real person? What are they bringing to the organization? If they have a disability, how can I help them have the best phone screen possible? Because, I've done phone screens with people that are nervous. I myself have gotten very nervous in phone screens. And then I hang up the phone and I go, oh, darn, I wish I could have done that again. And so you really want to give people that chance to have that, you know, the best phone screen that they can. So I would encourage disclosure.
And it's significant nowadays as well, because the phone screen is prior to potentially remote work. So there really needs to be a lot more get to know you sessions, because you're not always getting that in-person interview anymore or in-person job opportunities. So like, who's that real person is a pertinent question. Alicia, we'll pause there and we'll pick up next time to get into the actual interview process. Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you.
Alicia Yardley joins us from our HR department, and that's once a month to talk employment.
And she truly doesn't sit there going, ha ha, how can I mess you up? Truly. Imagine that evil side.
Ooh. No, I can't. Not with Alicia.
No, never. Coming up next on the program, folks, we wrap it up. We'll see what's going on Now with Dave Brown. Rum has that information for you. And you ever remember being told, hey, don't go mess around, don't bother a bird's nest, don't touch a wounded bird because the parent, mother, will not touch the bird? You had all those warnings as a kid? The one that was left off my list was don't go and touch a little baby cub bear. I'll tell you about people that didn't heed that warning if they never or ever got it after this.
We'll be back with more of Kelly and Ramya after this short break.
I'm Margaret Shepherd of the AMI podcast, Tripping On Air. Every month, my co-host Alex Hajar and I spill the tea on what it's really like to live with MS. Watch Tripping On Air on YouTube or download wherever you get your pods.